So soon I might not be able to be as deep as now. I said, Rosh Hashanah, how many years is this already?
Four.
This is four already.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Okay, it's a shame. I'm sure everyone had a beautiful Rosh Hashanah, it's a shame, getting ready for a beautiful Yom Kippur. With the Rav, it's a shame, he's going to take you where you need to go. So I want to do something maybe a little bit, not different, but for me, it's a little bit risky because I want to be able to get invited back for year five. So hopefully this will be Neskabel Baratzen. You know, sometimes, not Chas Shom, Lo'aleinu V'lo'aleichem, you know, but such a thing where a person has to go through a procedure. Sometimes they have to like sign a waiver before, like, you know. Or let's say maybe something nicer. You go on like a really dangerous roller coaster, you know, something fun, but you have to sign a waiver before. So I want to share with you a Torah that maybe you have to sign a waiver before. So, mentally sign a waiver. If it's mechazik, it's mechazik. If it's not mechazik, then forget it. And don't worry about it. You get schar alicha. That'll be fine. The first part will be totally safe. It's the second part. The best we can. As you know, there's a club Arab Tzaddik. We'll learn a little Arab Tzaddik tonight. There's a club Arab Tzaddik and everything is to a certain degree captured by its beginning. Like the first place and the concept is mentioned in Chumash, that's its Inyan. You know, beginnings. You know, you see, Rav Tzaddik views things as sort of like seed to tree. You know, so everything is contained in its original form. So how do you begin Yom Kippur? So our first entrance into Yom Kippur is even before Kol Nidre, right? The first thing is, for some reason, we say, Orzer Latzadik, Ulish Relay Simcha. Right? Say that pasuk again and again. Orzer Latzadik, Ulish Relay Simcha. So if that's the pasuk that he entered into Yom Kippur with, it must be that's Yom Kippur. That's Yom Kippur. So, there's, you know, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Tainus, I think Taf Tazayin, the Gemara says in Tainus, I think it's Rishu Ben Levi, that the Gemara says on that pasuk, it's a funny Gemara. Arzur Latzadik, Ulish Relay Simcha, says the Gemara like this. A tzaddik has ar, b'lav davka simcha. A yishrei lev has simcha, b'lav davka ar. It's arzur Latzadik. Ulish Relay is simcha. Like the Gemara presents it as like two separate people, so to speak, you know? There's the tzaddik and his jurisdiction is light, and then there's the yishrei lev, his jurisdiction is simcha. Now there's a tragedy in that, right? The goal is to bring the two together. Simcha tzaddikim b'Hashem, right? That's the next pasuk. So the goal is that Orzul Tzaddik, Lushay Simcha, should be talking about the same person. And so that's what we have to figure out, that Yom Kippur somehow is captured by that sentence, by that pasuk. But what's unique to Yom Kippur is that the same tzaddik who has Or is the same Yishrei Lev that has Simcha. Or the same Yishrei Lev that has Simcha is the same tzaddik that has Or. Okay? That's the seed of the shir, right? So we'll get there. Aleph. Beis. When it comes to the void of Yom Kippur, so by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Kohen Gadol, so if you think about it, there's sort of two, like what's the main inyan, the main part of the avoida? So if you think about it, there's kind of two things that are the main thing. Number one, if you view the avoida of Yom Kippur in terms of kapara and bringing kapara for Klal Yisrael, then the main thing, like the Mishnah says in the beginning of Masechet Shavuos, the main thing was the Sar Lazazel. The Sar Lazazel is Mechaber Kalas V'Chamuras Yoidim B'lo Yoidim, Mishnah says in Shavuos. So that's the main attraction, that's the main Avoida. But it's interesting, in Chumash, if you just read simple Psukim in Chumash, in Parshas Achrimais, the feel of the Avoida of Yom Kippur that you get from Parshas Achrimais is really about something else. Yeah, there's kapara. Kapara is only mentioned really at the end. The main focus in Parshas Achrimais is allowing the Kohen Gadol to go to Kodesh HaKodeshim. Bezois Yavi Aaron al Kodesh. Right? Achrimais Shnevin Aaron, they went, they weren't supposed to do Bezois Yavi Aaron al Kodesh, Bepar Ben Boker, and so on, the whole avoid of Yom Kippur. So from Sukkim, it seems like the Indian is really to go into Kodesh HaKodeshim. So it must be that they're both true. Not only are they both true, it must be that they're both really two sides of the same coin. And the truth is, it's not so crazy, because we know the Sar La'azazel has a partner, right? The Sar Nasa Bifnin, right? The other Sar that goes La'ashem, all the way into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They're so interconnected, that Akdei Kach, they're completely Shava, the only way to, the only difference between them is a Goyrel, right? So you have these two sides of Yom Kippur, one Tachlis, which is the Kohen Gadol's entrance, and like his space that day is Kodesh HaKodeshim. And then if the other Tachlis, really focused on the Kapar of Klal Yisrael, which is through the Asar Lazoza primarily. Now the truth is, let's go a little bit deeper. Again, I'm just putting puzzle pieces now, then we'll put it together. The Indian of the Kohen Gadol going to Kodesh HaKodeshim, maybe we spoke about this in previous years, I don't remember, but the Indian of the Kohen Gadol going to Kodesh HaKodeshim, according to Chazal, was to a certain degree allowing the Kohen Gadol, albeit for one day a year, to be defined as like the Bechin of Moshe Rabbeinu in the generation. Chazal said, the Rambam already records this in Pirush HaMishnah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go into Kodesh HaKodeshim whenever he wanted. Whenever he wanted, he'd go into Kodesh HaKodeshim. V'niyad l'chashom, whenever he wanted. And Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzar. He was upset about something. That what? That he's allowed to go in whenever he wants. But his brother Aaron, who's a Kohen Gadol, can never go in. So to be Menachem Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you know, I'll be Mechadish Nenin of Yom Kippur. That this will allow him to go, just like you can go all the time. So once a year, under the right circumstances and so on, the Kohen Gadol could also go in. In other words, as we see in the Sorim say that means that the Inyan of the Kohen Gadol going to Kodesh HaKodeshim is a Hizgalos, a revelation of the Bechin of Nishmas Moshe. We know the Zohar says, especially to the Moshe, but called Dar V'Dara, every single Jew has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Zohar talks about that the Neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to get Gula moving forward, Neshama Moshe has to come into the generation every once in a while, maybe more than once in a while. And so the Inyan of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and his ability to go into Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's a revelation, that's a Ha'ara of Nishmas Moshe. Moshe always goes in, on the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur also he goes in like Moshe Rabbeinu. So again, going back to what we said before, if going into Kodesh HaKodeshim is sort of the other side of the coin of the Sar La'azazel, these are both Ikarim in the Inyan of Yom Kippur, and if they're both Ikarim, means that they're both the same. So it means, as we have to figure this out, that just as going to the Kodesh HaKodeshim means a revelation of Nishmas Moshe, so too, the Sar La'azazel also captures and brings out a revelation of Nishmas Moshe. Again, these are just the puzzle pieces. So again, summing it up, what's the new Arzul Atzadik Lusha Simcha? Somehow that's Yom Kippur. And this Inyan of going to the Kodesh HaKodeshim and the Sar La'azazel, both two sides of the same coin, and somehow both of them, in their unique ways, bring out the Kayach and the Kedusha and the power of Nishmas Moshe. Okay. There's a Gemara in Yuma, Samach Vav Mebeis. It's a very strange Gemara. I'm not sure if, like, at the end of the day, I'll get to explain it. We'll see. But it's a very strange Gemara. The Gemara says like this: when it comes to halachas of Sar La'azazel, so the Gemara says like this: Sholus or Belezer. They asked Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, they asked Rabbi, the Tamidim, asked Rabbi Elazar, a few shilas. Chol ma'u she'akrav el k'seifa. Let's say the ish'iti, the designated person that he's going with the Sar La'azazel. So let's say the Sar La'azazel gets sick. So the question is, on Yom Kippur, is he allowed to carry it to the cliff? That was the shiloh. So the Gemara says, Amar lehem, Sar Elazar answers, Yochlu l'arka v'ni v'atem. It never happened. The Sar was always so strong it could carry me and you. It's not a problem. Avoiding the question. Cholam Mishalchumal, then they ask another question. What if the Mishalech, what if the guy that's the Ish'iti, right, the designated person, what if he gets sick? Can they get someone else to take over? Amar lehem, Rabbi Elazar also responds, Ey b'shalom ani v'atem. All Yidden should be healthy and well. Right there, avoiding the question. They ask another question. Let's say you push the goat off the cliff and it doesn't die. Should they go to find it and kill it? Omer Lehem, he also avoids it. All the enemies of Hashem should be destroyed. So the Gemara explains that Rulazar wasn't just Tom avoiding it, didn't have the answer. He had the answer. But the Gemara says that Rulazar had an Inyan. The Gemara explains that Shaloi Omer Dover Shaloi Shom Pi Rabin Me'olam. Rav Elazar didn't want to say a chiddush that he didn't hear from his rebbe. And so these shailas, I guess he never heard from his Rebbe, or even indirectly. So that's why he was avoiding it. Then the Gemara goes on that the Talmidim asked him weiter questions. Shalos or Lezer, they continued to ask him. They asked him like this, Ploini Mao Loilam Haba. The way the Rishonim explained, they asked him about Avshalom. Avshalom ben David, does he have a chelik in Olam Haba? So, okay, it's a pretty, it's a Mitzar Lazazel, and now you're going into Avshalom, okay. Amar Lei, he avoids it. He says, Lo Yishal Tuni Ela Ploini, why don't you ask him about Shalom HaMelech? Okay. Then they go on, another question. Mao Lahatzel Roya Kivsa Min Hari. The way the Rishonim explained, then they ask, was the chait of David in Bathsheba? Like, what was the deal with that? Was it real? Was it a real chait or not? Can we save the sheep from the lion? In other words, maybe Bathsheba is compared to the sheep over here. Was it maybe there was a heter? Maybe she was megureshes already. So Omer Lahem Vaitir, he avoids the answer. He says Lo Yishal Tuni Al Araya. Why don't you ask him about the shepherd? In other words, what the Rishonim say? Why don't you ask him about Uriah Achiti? Uriah was another sort of victim in that story, not answering any of the questions. They go on to another question. Amar Lahem, they ask him another question. Mamzer Maulerish. Could a Mamzer Yarshin his father? He avoids it. So he says, Mauli Abim. Why don't you ask me if he could do Yibam to his sister-in-law? Okay? Next question. This is a Gemara. I'm not making this up. Samach Vavim Beis. The Gemara says, the next one, Maulosid es Beisai. Then they ask, then Tamid the Master of Lazar, what about, is there a din nowadays of Zeich L'Churban? Of leaving, Amabai and Amabai a house? So is that, do we have to do that? It's a funny question. The Gemara says in Babas with Zechid. Okay, fine. Ma'olas v'es beisai. Amar Lahem, he avoids it. Ma'olas v'es kivrei. Why don't you ask me if you have to mark off graves? Like if a person, meis mitzvah, whatever it is. Why don't you ask me if you have to mark off graves? Adkan, that's the sugya. Okay, I don't think I have to ask any kashas, right? It's just like, well, the whole thing is a pili point. The whole thing is a tell. Okay. When it comes to Sar Lazazel, there's a number of strange things in terms of the procedure and the halachas of Sar Lazazel. So, for example, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. The Gemara says that there was an Indian by the Sar Lazazel, as we know, that there was a red string, right? Lashon Shel Zahir is a red string that when the mitzvah of Sar Lazazel was done properly and everything, so it turned white. So the Gemara says, Abraisa, that originally the minhag was that the red string was actually tied to the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. And it would turn white, and everyone saw it was gavaldik. The problem is, says the Gemara, that some years Nebuch Lo'olenu didn't turn white. So, and Yidin were Tzibrachin. So they changed the minhag, and they, instead of keeping it by the door of the Beis HaMikdash, they sent it along with the Ish Iti, and then I guess he would bring it back or whatever. So he would find it would turn white there. So I have a Shiloh. All of a sudden, we're curious about what goes on in Shemayim. Bahadi kivshi derachman olam alach. Madaloch savid. The Gemara says in Brachas, right? Well, you have to know the secrets of the universe. You do your avoida. What the Rabbanu Shem wants to do, he wants to do. So all of a sudden, we were curious about whether our avoida is niskabel or not. Whatever. We do our avoida tshuva. We do the karbanas. You do your avoida. Finish. What the Rabbanu Shem wants to do. And adarabah, Chazal should be super sensitive to giving yidin to make them tzibrachin. The Kohen Gadol goes in Kodesh HaKodshim, right? And the Gemara says, Mishnah says he has a very short tefillah. Why? Because we don't want even the slightest thing that Yidden should have any feeling of agmas nefesh, that maybe the Kohen Gadol, you know, if he's being marach in tefillah, maybe they'll think that he died or something. So that, so we're makatzer his tefillahs because we don't cause any agmas nefesh. But the Bezdin decided that it was a good thing to show on public display this red string and hoping that it turns white. And it did cause agmas nefesh. Chazal should be able to see that, at least the possibility of that. It's like, well, what's this Indian of wanting to see the red string? It's a cool thing. I guess it's nice, but Chazal are not interested in it. It's Bahadi Kish Derechmala. It's Rabban Hashem's business. What does that do with us? It's question number one. Question number two. The Mishnah says also in Yuma that when this Ish Iti was sent, so the Mishnah says that there were 10 sukkahs that were set up from before Yontif between Yerushalayim and Azazel by the mountain over there. And each one, so the guy would stop off in each one to rest or whatever it is, and they had food and drink over there to offer him in case he needed to break his fast. It was doichu the fast. And the Gemara says a brisa. The brisa says mi'olam lo yutzrichu l'kach, that in all the years the ishiti never had to break his fast. Okay, so it's an interesting zach. Maybe the Gemara says pas basale. Okay, maybe it's a shtikel neis. Whatever. You know what the pella is? The Rambam passes like that. In Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur, in Paragimel, the Rambam paskins that you should set up these sukkahs. And the Rambam in Halacha, in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur, says, it was never necessary for him to break his fast. What type of Halacha is that? It's a historical curiosity. It's a historical phenomenon. It's a halacha in Avodas Yom Kippurim that it never happened. What type of halacha is that? Why would the Rambam record it? Stop. What's in it of a sukkah, 10 sukkahs? And let's say it wasn't a sukkah, let's say it was 10 houses. Or let's say it was 10 orchards with nice canopies, like sukkahs. Another shayla, the Gemara says that based on sukkah, the Gemara says that any yid is kosher to be this designated person to go with the Sar Lazasa. But the Mishnah says, but the minig was that old Kahanim Gedoilim used to do it. And the Gemara even says a more starker lush in the Mishnah that the old Kahanim Gedoilim would like hold on to it. Like no, they wouldn't allow anyone else to do it. Kasapis, well, why? Like, why? Again, the Rabbi brings it down also. So evidently he was considered to be like something that made sense, that old Kahanim Gedoilim, like retired Kahanim Gedoilim would do it. Why? The Mishnah also says that the minhag was that when the Ish Iti would travel out of Yerushalayim, out of the Beis HaMikdash, they built a platform, like a ramp, for him to go out, like elevated from everyone else. Why? So the Gemara says, because of the Bavliim, the Babylonians, was the Maisa. So the Mishnah says that these Bavliim were so, what they would do is, when the Sar Lazazel, when this guy was going with the Sar Lazazel, he's, you know, weaving through the crowds, so the Bavliim over there, the Yidden, saying Jewish people from Bavel, they would pull the hairs of the goat, the hair of the guy, I don't know, and they would say, Tulvitsay, get out of here, take the Averis out of here, get out of here, which is not so nice, it's not nice to the goat, to the person. So to avoid that, they made this ramp that he should travel above them. Now what's interesting is, the Gemara says they weren't Bavliim. They were Alexandrian. They were from Alexandria of Mitzrayim. Why is the Mishnah referred to as Babylonians? So Gemara says because the Goyim of Bavel were giving Tzaras to Eden at the time, so we call them Bavloyim. We call them Babylonians. That's the type. I don't know. If they weren't from Bavel, why are you giving a bad name to the Eden from Bavel? And the Gemara says a Braisa. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda said that. Rabbi Yehuda said that they weren't really Bavloyim. They were from Alexandria. On Rabbi Yossi, Tenuch Daitcha Sheinach Dezai, I feel a lot better because I'm from Bavel, he said, so I feel a lot better. Really point. This is a, you say Berachas HaTorah on this, like what type of he's going to Kevez, he's going to ramp. The Gemara says also, why is it called Azazel? What does Azazel mean? So the Gemara says a few interpretations. One Shana Gemara, I think, Tanat Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel taught that Azazel is a combination of two words, Azah and Azoil. And says the Gemara that Azazel means that the Sar Mishtalech is being Mechaper on Maisa Azav Azoil. What does that mean? So says Rashi, takes you back to the Dor HaMavol, that there were these two Malachim, Az and Azoil, these two Malachim, and they came down to planet Earth, and they became Mamish terrible. And they sort of pushed the generation into trouble with the Dor HaMavol. They accelerated the problem. What does the Sar Mishtalech do with that? Says Rashi, it means basically Arayas. In other words, Azam and Azal, these two Malachim compounded the issue of Arayas for the generation, which was a major problem with the Dor HaMavol. So when the Gemara says that Azazel means that the Sar Mishtalech is Mechaper for Maisa Azav Azoil, it basically means the Sar Mishtalech is Mechaper for Arayas. That's Rashi. No, that's a simple pshat. The problem is, there has to be deeper layers to that, because first of all, so why don't we just say Arayas? Chumash has no problem using the word Arayas. Why are we so embarrassed to use the word Arayas all of a sudden? We have to reference these two Malachim, Dor HaMavol. And second of all, what do you mean, Arayas? The Mishnah says in Shavuos, it's Mechaper and everything. It's Mechaper, Kalas, Vechamuras, Ase, Loises, Se, Karis, Mises, Bezin, you name it. Arayas also. Well, this episode arises. Okay. Those are, I guess, the questions. I don't have the number anymore where we're holding, but okay. When it comes to Sar Mishtaleach, so I mentioned before the red string that turns white. So in the Gemara, there's like a few blots in the Gemara, Samach Vav, Zayin, Ches, that's where these sugyos are. So Andam Samach Vav, I believe, the Mishnah over there, Mishnah and a Gemara, there's a machlokes hatanoim when the red string would turn white. When did it turn white? So the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah is that it turned white when it was pushed off the cliff. Pushed off the cliff is killed, so that's when it turned white. The Gemara records in Tana, Rabbi Lazar HaKefer, that's not like that. That it turned white once the Sawyer with this person was escorted to the Midbar. Once it hit the Midbar, that's when it turned white. That's the Machlekes in the Gemara. What's the Machlekes? So the Gemara explains, the Machlekes is fundamental. What's the Iker Mitzvah? What's the Iker Mitzvah? The Tanakam holds the Iker Mitzvah is killing the thing and pushing it off the cliff. That's the Iker Mitzvah. So that's when it turns white. The other opinion says, no. The Iker Mitzvah is, like the Pasuk says, V'shila chayse ha-midbar, to send it to the Midbar. Yeah, what do you do with it there? So once you're there, you kill it. But the Iker Mitzvah is just sending it to the Midbar, and that's why it turns white then. So that's Machlekes. A few blot later, you have another Machlekes tonight. The halach is that when the Kohen, in the Seder Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, so after he does the Gairo, right, and he sends the Sar Mishtaleach, the Sar Lazazel, with this designated person, the next thing in the process is Kriyas HaTorah. So he has to go, he was in the Azor this whole time, the Kohen Gadol, right? Kriyas HaTorah is by Ezra's Nashim. So he should go to Ezra's Nashim and do Kriyas HaTorah. But the halach is, he's not allowed to do that. He can't leave the Azara. He can't start something else until the mitzvah of Sar Mishtaleach is taken care of. So this Machlokes Tanoim, though, what does it mean to be taken care of? When could he begin Kriyas HaTorah? One opinion is, he has to wait until the Sar Mishtaleach is pushed off the cliff and killed. So he has to time, he has to estimate when that is, whatever. The second opinion is, no. As soon as as he estimates the Sar Mishtaleach hits the Midbar, he could start Kriyas HaTorah. So says Taisvis, these two machlokesim, when the red string turns white, and when the Kohen Gadol can start Kriyas HaTorah, it's the same machlokes. In other words, the shaila is, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to kill the Sar Lazazel? Or is it funded more primarily to send it to the Midbar? So the opinion that holds, there's one opinion that holds it's killing the Sar, which means therefore that's when it turned white, and only then can the Kohen Gadol do Kriyas HaTorah. And the other opinion, no, the mitzvah is sending it to the Midbar, and that's when it turns white, and then the Kohen Gadol can do Kriyas HaTorah. It's the same machlokes. What's the problem? It's the Rambam. The Rambam passes in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim that what? That the string turns white when it's pushed off the cliff. Which means what? That the Rambam is paskening that the mitzvah is to kill the Sar Lazazel. Yet the Rambam paskens that when could the Kohen Gadol begin Kriyas HaTorah? Once the Sar hits the Midbar. So again, according to Taisus, that it's the same Machlokes. So it doesn't make sense. If the string turns white only after it's killed, it means that's the mitzvah. Well, if that's the mitzvah, then he shouldn't be allowed to leave and do laning until that happens. If he's allowed to do laning once it hits the Midbar, it means that's the mitzvah. So then why doesn't it turn white then? It's just like this. The Gemara has a shot. The Gemara says that, I hope you're following. This is like the easy part. Yeah. this is like cheshbonis. Okay, you're not going to be coming at Pi Carson from this. Okay, so. Anyway, so the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, Shaila, let's say this designated person, right, this Ishiti, let's say, you know, he's ready, he's excited to do his part. He becomes Tameh. He becomes Tameh. So what happens now? So as the Gemara says that even though he's Tameh, he can still go into Azara. Mom, she can go into Azara to the Kohen Gadol to receive, to take the Sar Lazazel from the Kohen Gadol. Even though a Tameh person can't go to the Beis Hamikdash, usually the mitzvah of Sar Mishtaleach is Doich he could go in. So ask the Achronim, I don't understand. Why does he have to go in? He has to get the Sar. Okay, so give it a little zetz, let it go. Or have someone bring it out to him. Like, he has to go get it from the Kohen Gadol. Al kedei kach, that even though he's Tameh, he can still do it. The Gemara says later on in Yuma Ayin Aleph, the Gemara says that later that day or the next day, whatever it is, whenever this Ishiti would meet the Kohen Gadol, the next time he would meet, it was a thing that he would say to the Kohen Gadol, Esisi shlichusech. I did your shlichus. What shlichus? It says in Pasuk that the servant shall have to be killed. So here's what comes out. There's really two dinim when it comes to Sar Mishtaleach. And the avoida of the Sar Mishtaleach looks like it's one big process, but that one big mitzvah of Sar Mishtaleach is really comprised of two different parts. There's one side, there's one chelek of the avodah of the sar mishtaleach, which is really the responsibility of the kohen gadol. And that chiyuv is what? Is shilach oisei hamidbara. Is to send it to the midbar. That's a chiyuv on the kohen gadol to do. And when it's sent to the midbar, when it hits the midbar, that's the kiyum that the kohen gadol, that's the kohen gadol's obligation to do that. This ish iti, this designated person, the kohen gadol can't, he has to be in the base of Mikdash. He can't do it. So this ish iti is designated to be a shliach of the kohen gadol. And this is why he has to go into Azara to be makabel the sawyer from the kohen gadol to establish that he is working on behalf of the kohen gadol. And when he comes back the next day, he says, "Asisi shlichusach, I did your shlichus." That's as far as the chiyuv of the sarah mishtalech that's on the kohen gadol. And it's because of that, says the Rambam, once it hits the midbar, now the kohen gadol was makayim his chelik in the avoda. He could go on to do kriyas haTorah. He's good. He's finished. But that's all in terms of what the chiyuv of the kohen gadol's hishtatfus in the sarah lazazel, which is sending it to the midbar. But then there's another din, which is the sarah lazazel needs to be processed. It's a din. It's a thing. It needs to be sacrificed. It doesn't have to be sacrificed by the kohen gadol. Someone has to do it. So this ishiti is doing it. What is that? He pushes it off the cliff. That's the sacrifice of the sarah lazazel. In terms of when the kapar takes place, when does the red string turn white? Avada takes place when the sacrifice of the sar lazazel takes place, which is when it's pushed off the cliff. But that's a separate inyan of whether the kohen gadol has finished his job or not. There's two separate things going on over here. There's the avodah of the kohen gadol, which is to send the sar lazazel to the midbar, and whether or not he's allowed to then move on to the next avodah of kriyas haTorah, that depends on whether he's finished the first avoid is sending it to the midbar now. So over there, the Rambam paskins, once it hits the midbar, he's good. He goes on vayt. But then there's something else. You want to know whether the sar lazel's avoid is finished or not, and whether it brings a kapar to Klal Yisrael. Well, the kohen gadol has finished his chelik of it, but the thing is not done. And that's the next shlav, which is the actual sar lazel has to be sacrificed and processed, which is pushing off the cliff, and that's when the kapar takes place. And so that's why the Rambam understood. Not Tosfos said there's two machlekes under the same. It's not two separate issues. There's two separate dinim going on. There's the avodah of the kohen gadol, and then there's the actual avodah of the sarah mishtalech. Okay, so let's be mamik in this a little bit. This inyan of these two sides of the sarah mishtalech, the avodah of the kohen gadol, the shlichus, the acting as a shlich of the kohen gadol, and this other in which is only until it hits the midbar, and second, the avoid of the sar mishlech itself of pushing it off the cliff. Alright, so let me share with you. So there's a piece from our tzaddik in Tzidkas HaTzaddik. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. It's mamish. It's one of the mysteries of creation. Our tzaddik made it to old Lithvishi yeshivas. Everyone knows our tzaddik. There's no shaila about it, right? Any tzaddik? Yeah, for sure. It's different machshava. Our tzaddik is like the deepest secrets of chassidus. I don't know. It's a pella that it sort of breaks barriers. Listen, the Sar Tzaddik is like this. I'll share with you a few lines from Rav Tzaddik over here. And then, like, you have to lock the doors. You're not allowed to leave now. You know? Okay? So this is where, because I don't want you to, you have to process this a little bit. And then we'll take a step back. We'll try to hopefully figure it out. And I get like this, you know, Yom Kippur, you know, the year is comprised of two parts. There's 364 days, and then there's Yom Kippur. Achas Bashana, right? The Rambam says tshuva is always good. Tshuva is especially good as Seres Mei Tshuva. But Yom Kippur is Keitz Mechilu Slicha. Yom Kippur is the apex, the highest expression of tshuva, the highest degree of tshuva and Slicha Mechilu is Yom Kippur. So what we're going to learn right now is that there's a certain moichin, there's a certain mindset and a certain consciousness that a person can have on Yom Kippur. You can only have it on Yom Kippur. So what we're going to learn now maybe is not so negeh for a Stam Tuesday, but if in Kippur, it's good to note. You know what? So it's something like this. It's a ice mem tzidkas tzaddik. Ikar hatshuva. You know what the apex of tshuva is, which is what Yom Kippur is. Ikar hatshuva, the height of tshuva is that sheyor Hashem einav. The highest degree of tshuva is where Hashem illuminates a person's eyes. She is a dinus kischias. Where he himself feels that kiviyochol his mistakes somehow are lichtig, somehow brought him to this higher madriga right now. There's a certain feeling of kiviyochol, you know, it's hard even to say, kiviyochol, a certain sense of Hashem's looking back, like sort of feeling Hashem's presence even in those mistakes. He says, what do I mean? Sheyakir v'yovin, shekol mashachata hayigam baratzon Hashem yisparach. Such a thing. The height of tshuva is such azivus achi, such harata, such asham v'begadnu, that akadei kach, that a person can look back after that avoida and actually feel an or, even feel a sense of kedusha from his own past. Like Avraham Avinu, Chazal say that Hashem said to Avraham Avinu when he was thinking about those few years that he didn't know about Amunah yet. So Hashem said to Avraham, "L'chot al yaldu sach adrab, your youth is the do. You should hold on to the do of your youth." The height of tshuva is that there's a certain sense. You know, there's a maisa with the Baal Shem Tov that he once found a yid and he said, "You know, your father, you should know, is bichelik in Gan Eden. The father was already nifter. Is it why?" He said, because your father was a chazan, was a big chazan, Fiyom Naroyim, and he instituted in his shul, in the areas, whatever, that you say Hashem Abagan, you say with the shtickle negin. So Baal Shem Tov said he has a big chelik in Al-Hal for that. That's what Sadek is talking about over here. We'll break it down. But there's an Indian that the height of tshuva is where there's a certain sense of looking back, even the mistakes were somehow guided and bringing a person to a higher place. So he says, Uketam Yediyu Bechir. And he says, I know, I'm getting involved with Yediyu and Bechir over here and the breakdown of the two. And he then goes on. He says, Ukushamasik L'Orze Ha'atza. When a person experiences a little bit of this light, as Shavu calls it a nice, I've built the Yitzim, I make Yediyas Hashem. Then it's not true that even on one's mistakes, ultimately somehow we're still being guided and still being sort of supervised, and maybe even more than supervised by Hashem. And if it was supervised, but more than that, by the Rabbana Shalom, Erekol Zchuyas. Okay, so we have to process that. I don't know if after the next few minutes or after a lifetime we'll be able to intellectually understand this. But here's an important insight. Your neshama doesn't have to. A neshama doesn't necessarily have a problem with opposites. The neshama doesn't. The human mind, the seichel enoshi, wants to understand everything, to put it in a particular box. The neshama knows that God is complicated, and the neshama knows that the Rabbanu Shalom's world is complicated. It doesn't have a problem with complexity. What the neshama wants to know is what's the avoida. How do I handle this? How do I juggle these opposites? But to actually be miyashiv, the stira, the neshama doesn't. It's a big klal, but it's a good principle to know in life, and also the klal with Ratzadik and Ishvitza. You don't have the neshama doesn't need to have the answer. So, like I said, 15-20 minutes is not going to provide us time for an answer, and there is an answer, but that's okay. You don't need an answer. The question is, the neshama just wants to be guided through this. What is this? So let's go back for a second. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, Perek Zayin, the Rambam's talking about the greatness of Tshuva, and the Rambam says that one of the greatnesses of Tshuva is that the Geula depends on Tshuva. Ein yisol negolam elamitach Tshuva, the Rambam says. And the Rambam even says more than he says, and when Klal Yisrael do Tshuva, and it's for sure that we're going to do Tshuva, says the Rambam, miyad ein negol. It's immediate, in other words. The Rambam is making an equation. What's the equation? Tshuva equals Geula. You know that. Geulas means, the Geulas of Ruchnis means Averis. So, Geula means to get out of that, which means Tshuva. Now we know in the Geula process there are two Mashiachim, there are two Mashiachs, right? There are two personalities, two energies in the process of Geula, which now we can translate into Tshuva as well, which is Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So there's a tshuva of Mashiach ben Yosef, and there's a tshuva of Mashiach ben David. Geula Shlema is both together. What's the tshuva of Mashiach ben Yosef? The tshuva Mashiach ben Yosef is the first stage of Sar Lazazel, which is the Kohen Gadol taking the Sar Lazazel and saying, Ich feh, get out of here. Shilach oisei hamidbar. That's the Sar Lazazel. The Sar Lazazel represents the eight Tzarim, Taivas, you name it. Kalas v'chamuras. That's the Sar Lazazel. Right? Who's the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is the Tzadik Hador. Kohen Gadol is the embodiment of Yosef HaTzadik of the generation. Yosef HaTzadik is Shem Arbris. The Kohen Gadol is the greatest miyuchas of the generation. He's the Kohen Gadol. So he wears Shemayna Begodim, Yosef HaTzadik with his garments. The Kohen Gadol always represents Yosef HaTzadik. Chanukah, which is the Yontif of Kahanim, so it's well known. Yosef equals Melech Yavan. Kahuna is Shaykh Dinin of Kedusha, Tzadik, Yisrael Oilam, that's Yosef HaTzadik. The Kohen Gadol's job with the Sar Mishdalech is Shilach Oisei Hamidbar. That avoid of tshuva is the inyan of a yid who's fell into certain mistakes throughout the course of the year, but does tshuva according to Shulchan Aruch. What does that mean? It means charata, zivus achet, vidui, you name it, hilchus tshuva. And basically, what is tshuva? Tshuva is I'm going to be a tzaddik from now on. That's what tshuva means, right? Yeah, it'll take time. I'm on the program of tzaddik now. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. That's Tzadik Yisar Olam, that's the Kohen Gadol, and that's the Avoida of sending the Sar Lazazel. Only a Yid who's in the program of Tzadik is able to experience light, is able to experience Kedusha. Or Zerul HaTzadik. It means, for a person to experience the Shechina, to experience Kedusha, to have a Likus in a revealed way in your life, means you have to be Mashiach ben Yosef did. You have to be involved in the avoida of sending the Sar Mishdaleach to the Midbar. Or Zerul HaTzadik. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. But then something else that's called Mashiach ben David. What's Mashiach ben David? Mashiach ben David is that part of the neshama that can't explain it and doesn't even know itself what it's sensing. But it's the part of the neshama that knows this truth, which is that everything is Ratzon Hashem. Eina Milvada. That's called Yishrei Lev. Or Tzadik writes this in other places. Yishrei Lev means, what does it mean Yishrei Lev? A straight heart. You know, someone that's drunk, like there's a Lashon Chazal that someone that's drunk, even crooked roads are straight. Yishrei Lev, or Tzadik Taich is in a few places, or Sisi Laila, other places. Yishrei Lev means, no matter a type of yid, a Mashiach ben David dik yid, where it's like no matter what happens, like he's full of confidence and he's full of happiness and bitachin, that the Rabbanu Shem has my back. Now that could very often be translated as a lack of Yir Shemayim, which very often it is, because Yosef Tzadik is the one that says it's a lakim ani yirei, right? Yosef Tzadik is Yir Shemayim. The other side, the Yishrei Lev, might be lacking Yir Shemayim, but you know what he does have? He has simcha. Because no matter what, he knows it's going to be okay tomorrow morning. Like, it's going to work out. And like the Gemara says in Tainis, the tzaddik has light, but not simcha. The Yishrei Lev has simcha, but no light. That, if the avodah of the Kohen Gadol sending the Sar HaMidbar is the avodah of Mashiach ben Yosef, it's the pushing the Sar off the cliff, that's the avodah of Mashiach ben David. That inyan of pushing the Sar off the cliff, if it was any other time, that's Avodah Zarah Mamash. Who did that? Who went to Azazel to these and pushed the goats? That's Avodah Zarah. The Rabban even writes this in Parashas Achrimais, that part of the inning of Sar Mishdaleich was to give a yanika to the Sitra Achra, to give a little bit of kleiches to the other side. It's Mamash Lemaisa Avodah Zarah. But what if the Rabban Hashem tells you to serve Avodah Zarah? Right? Whether, if the Rabban Hashem tells you to do this, it's a mitzvah then, right? The side of sending the Sar Midbar, that's Tzadik Yisar Oilam, that's the avoid of Arzul Tzadik. The avoid of pushing the Sar off the cliff, that's the Yishrei Lev Simcha. Now, when these two worlds are separate from each other, that's not Gula Shlema. It's not Gula Shlema. That means you have some Yidin that are Ardik, the Tzadik, and you have Yishrei Lev Simcha Dik Yidin. But the Rabbanu Shalom made the mitzvah Sar Mishdaleich is a unique thing. It's comprised of two parts, but it's one inyan, the Sar Mishdaleich, right? It took Rambams and Sugyas to dissect it. But without Rambams and without making things complicated and a steer and a tais and all that, the Sar Mishdaleich, It means this is the chiddush and this is the oimek of the Sar Mishdaleach. The side of the Sar Mishdaleach is what's called by the Mekubalim the yichud of the trei Mashiachim, the unification of both Mashiachs. What does it mean to unify both Mashiachs? It means, and this is the ikar chiddush of Yom Kippur. The ikar chiddush of Yom Kippur is to do the avoida of tshuva of Mashiach ben Yosef so well and so thoroughly that somehow it actually leads to shedding light on those areas that the Yishrei Lev are besimcha about. Again, those are usually two separate universes. Light, which means Kedusha, and a sense of Hashem's presence, and a real tangible Hashras HaShechina, that's by mitzvahs, and the way of the tzaddik. Then you have this other phenomenon, which is Mashiach ben David type, which is just this instinctual self-confidence, but not necessarily a conscious sense of Kedusha. The Chiddush of Yom Kippur, which is the Sar Mishdaleach, and the union of the two Mashiachim is Or Zeru LaTzadik LeYishrei Lev Simcha. That the same light that this person is zeichet to because of his avoid of Mashiach ben Yosef, that light is able to be experienced coming from the Chayshach of the Averis themselves that he is doing tshuva on. When Rav Tzadik said in Sikkas HaTzadik that the height of tshuva is that that Shiyor HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Rabbanu Shalom illuminates his life, that his Averis Kaviyach HaLichtik, that the red string turns white, that the redness of the string is white. That's the secret of Yom Kippur. That's the secret of the Sar Lazazel, of these two parts of Avodah really just becoming two parts of one Avodah. Now, for those that maybe are a little bit more advanced, by the Mekubalim, we know that you have these two neshamas. You have Yosef HaTzadik, and every single Jew, we're all called She'eris Yosef. So every single Jew has a part of them that's called Mashiach ben Yosef. This Avodah. Every Jew is capable of Or Zeru LaTzadik. And there's another part of us, we're called Yehudim, right? Which is in Mashiach ben David. So we're also capable of Yishrei Lev Simcha. But there's one neshama that is unique in its ability of being meyachid, of uniting these two Mashiachim. And that's who? It's Nishmas Moshe. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Chal Nazar Kaddish all over. This is the klal. Nishmas Moshe is miyuchid b'mina. It has a unique quality that it's able to bring these two opposites together. Davka on one person, that like what Rav Tzadik is talking about, that the tshuva of Mashiach ben Yosef should then be able to illuminate and to take the soid of Mashiach ben David out in the open. And the averis themselves and the mistakes should become lichtig. That you should be able to say Hashem the Beganu with the shtickle nigin. That itself is the soid of Mashiach, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember we said in the beginning that one of our first puzzle pieces, right? That the Sar Mishdaleach is the other side of the coin of the Kohen Gadol going to Kodesh HaKodshim. Going to Kodesh HaKodshim means Nishmas Moshe. Sar Mishdaleach is Nishmas Moshe. What does that mean? The answer is that's the site. The site of Nishmas Moshe is the ability of being miyachid to Mashiachin, of Or Zeru LaTzadik uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. This is what the Kodesh HaKodshim is. What's the Kodesh HaKodshim? So you have places that are not holy, and then you have places that are holy, and then the Kodesh HaKodshim is super duper deluxe holy. What does it mean? If something holy is holy. What's Kodesh HaKodshim? The site of Kodesh HaKodshim is not pshat that it's more holy than other. Kodesh HaKodshim means that in that place, it's so Nishmas Moshe, in that place, all there is holy. In other words, even things that from outside of that room are seen as not holy, from that room, it's holy. Mibein Shnei Akruvim is Rosh HaTeva's Moshe. That's the inning of Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Kodesh HaKodshim. Going into Kodesh HaKodshim and the Sar Mishdaleach is the same inning. I'll give you an example of this. The Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Pevav, the Gemara says, sorry, Michael, I don't know, it's okay, we go a little bit, I can't have you leave as Avi Carson. It's not fair to the Rav. It's going to be a much harder job of it. All right. So the Gemara says in Yuma like this. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Rabbeinu Shloilam, that his chait of, Mei Meriva, right? That his chait should be written in Chumash. He wanted to be written in Chumash. The Gemara says, Dovra Melech was davening that his chait should not be mentioned in Tanakh. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted his chet to be mentioned in Tanakh. What type of vineyard is that? Listen to Ratzalik. He writes, it's in Takanas HaShavim, page like 83 or something. Ratzalik says like this. Yeah, 84. He says Vavadi Metzias Inin Achet. That's like the whole inin of Moshe Rabbeinu making a chet is Mekiv Shidur Rahman. It's a pella. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole thing was clearly the Rabbanu Shlom doing things above and like breaking through Bechira. Like, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu nizdakech guf l'kimlachi mara. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a malach. The Gemara says that a person only sins if there's a lack of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim was a milsa zedrasi. It's a small klein zachah by Moshe Rabbeinu, Yerushalayim. So like, it's not possible that he sinned. So what is it? So says Rav Tzadik. So it means the Rabbanu Shlom was doing something. He says like this. He says, "Afal pishem itzad maris ayin l'sha ba'olam hazeh hoy bezeh gnus." So it looks like tamaris ayin that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. He sinned. And he clapped the thing, and the nixar of misa. He says, "Bemes yesh bezeh nachas ruch gadol." He says, "The truth is that thing caused a lot of nachas ruch to the Rabbanu Shlom." V'zeh haroz hagonas ba'isa ma'isa means the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. The secret of that inyan was orzeru latzadik u'liyishu le'simcha. That Avera was somehow lichtig. It was somehow lichtig. And Rav Tzadik says that this is the only example we have in all of Jewish history where an actual sin was committed, and the direct result of this sin was R. It says in Pasuk, Heima mei meriva, ve'yikadesh bam. That it brought Kiddush Hashem, it brought Kedusha to the world, the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. What type of a chet brings Hester upon it, it brings Chayshach, it brings Tumah. If you do tshuva, okay. But immediately, that the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu should be Kaddish Bam. So it says, Rav Tzadik, the answer is because that's the secret of Neshmas Moshe. It's Arz Latzal Yishlei Simcha. Is that even the red string turns white. That's the secret of Neshmas Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, he wants his Aveira to be recorded in Chumash. He wants you to be able to read it and to mamish, like, feel Dveikus of Shnayim Mikrevecha Targum when you're reading those Pesukim, Moshe Rabbeinu in the rock. Because that's it in Moshe Rabbeinu. Now let's understand, David HaMelech is unique. David HaMelech is every Jew. Malchus. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, the Melech is the Lev Ha'am, is the heart of the people. David HaMelech means every single Jew. Like Moshe Rabbeinu is also, Moshe Rabbeinu is like the top. And David HaMelech means like everyone. See, this reality of Orz V'Tzal Yishlei Simcha, this gilui of Nishmas, the koich of Nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu is living it. Think about this parsha, right? This past parsha, Parshas V'Eilech. To me, Parshas V'Eilech is one of the most mysterious parshas of all of Torah. Why? You have psukim over there that's shocking. I don't know, the Mepharshim don't really talk about it so much, not that I've seen. You have psukim that the Rabbanu Shlom is breaking down Bechira. The Rabbanu Shlom turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, "Listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, appoint Yeshua Benon between me and you after your nifter and everything like that. They're going to do Avodah Zarah. And all of a sudden, the category of Yerushalayim, the Rabbanu Shlom is saying, like, okay, Lamaisa, I'm telling you what's going to happen. What type? It's a pella. But that's the secret of Moshe. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that the red string turns white. See, if that Giloy were to be channeled to David HaMelech, then you know what that would splinter into every single neshama, because the David HaMelech is the heart of the people, and then every single neshama would be lichtig like that. That's the tikkun, that's gula shleim. We'll get to that. But so let's go back. Now that we have this inyan of the Sar L'Azazel, let's try to answer some of the questions. Let's try if I remember. Why are we interested in seeing the red string turn white? Secrets of the universe, what do we have to know if Hashem is makabel or tshuva? That's not the inyan. The inyan is not to know whether tshuva is niskabel. It's because the inyan of the Sar L'Azazel is red strings turning white. That's the secret of Arz V'Tzad V'Yishu Simcha. That's the inyan. That's a tangible expression of Yom Kippur. Dos is that. So of course we want to see it. Why is it that the Sar L'Azazel, that the Ish Iti, I might be going out of order, but why is it Ish Iti was 10 sukkahs set up, and Ish Iti were old Kahanim Gedolim? When I say the word sukkah, what comes to mind? What do we say by benching? Rachman, Yakum, and what? A sukkah is David HaMelech. Sukkah means David HaMelech. Kohen Gadol means Mashiach ben Yosef. The sukkah means Mashiach ben David. The holiness of Azazel is miyachid the two Mashiachim. It means that we davka want an old Kayan Gadol to be traveling to Azazel and by stopping in every sukkah along the way. That's the Inyan. That's the Inyan. But the Inyan of... But this is the side of the Sar Lazazel, is that there should be... That the light of Yom Kippur, the Orzer Latzadik, shouldn't be dulled and shouldn't be dimmed, a key who's there, despite the fact that he's on his way to do something which Batsam would be an Aver. Like, usually those two things do work. Like, if you're... You know, if a Chas V'Shalom person is on their way to do something which is Mole Hester Ponen, then they're not going to be lichtig. So you know what the great Pella is? That in all the years, he never had to desecrate Yom Kippur. You understand? The Oiris of Yom Kippur were always very stark by the Ish'iti, despite the fact that he's going to do an Avoida, which is the opposite of Ar, L'chayr. Because that's the secret of Yom Kippur. That's the secret of Sar L'Azazel. Ar is Rulat Tzadik Uli Yishu Leif Simcha. Right, he asked the question, why the Rama Paskin? What type of halacha is this that it never happened? The answer is, it's not a halacha, but that inyan of it never, of the Ish'iti never ever having a dulled Yom Kippur. The oiris of Yom Kippur, which are connected to the mitzvahs hayoyim, right? That it never got to the, there was never any diminishing of the light of Yom Kippur by the Ish'iti. That's the inyan. That him sending the sorrow off the cliff, which is giving Yenika to the Sitra Achra, is Moli Kedusha. Ar Kedei Kach, that it doesn't dull any of the Koyach of Yom Kippur by him. The Oris of Yom Kippur is very strong. No different than the Kohen Gadol and Beis HaMikdash. I mean, this is why the guy has to travel on a ramp, right? I mean, so this whole Inyan is opposite. This whole thing doesn't make any sense. That a Chet should be Moli Ar. And somehow through his avoida of charata zivus hachet, and his avoida of sending the Sar LaAzazel out of his life, somehow then opens up the secret that it was molei ar. It's a steer. It's a, like I said from the very beginning, you can't make sense of this. It's lamal matan v'das. So of course, when the guy is traveling out of the Beis Hamikdash, he's on a ramp above everyone else's head because the whole inyan is above everyone's head. Why was it the Bavliim, right? So the Bavliim, they were pulling the thing, Tul Vitzei. They weren't Bavliim, they were Egyptians. We call them Bavliim. What's this? Listen. There are certain neshamas, like I said before, every neshama has a piece of Mashiach ben Yosef, a piece of Mashiach ben David, but there's without a question, there are some neshamas that are more Mashiach ben Yosef dominant, and there are some neshamas that are more Mashiach ben David dominant. Chutz La'aretz b'derech klal, if you had to stereotype, Chutz La'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael, Neshamas of Chutz La'aretz are more Mashiach ben Yosef dik. Neshamas of Eretz Yisrael are more Mashiach ben David dik. Now you can have Israelis that are Betzem Chutz La'aretz next. And you can have Chutz La'aretz next that are Betzem Yosef Eretz Yisrael. But that's how it works, that's how it breaks down. David Amelch's Malchus is in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef's Malchus is in Mitzrayim. So these Bavliim, Bavil is a code for Chutz La'aretz. Bechlal. Talmud Bavli. These Bavliim, when they see the Sar LaAzazel, what is the most dominant thing by them? Tul Vitzei, get it out of here. See, if you're connected deeply to the Arz of Mashiach ben David, then you're not terribly, you have a little bit more savlonis with the Sar Mishtalech, you understand? Because you know that it's just around the corner, it'll be Molei Ar. But if you're Bavli, or really from Mitzrayim, which is Mamish, the place of Yosef HaTzadik, then you're not going to, it's not going to be like that. Then you're not going to have the patience. It's tul vitzei, but that's a chisar. That's why it's ironic that it's Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mashiach ben David. Rabbi Yehuda says it wasn't the Bavli, they were Egyptians. And Rabbi Yossi says, okay, fine, I feel a little bit better now. Right? So Rabbi Yossi might feel a little bit drawn to that word of Mashiach ben Yosef too much. And if he's also from Bavel, Mitzad Sheni, let's say you have a year that's cool, that's too, a little bit too much Mashiach ben David. So too much Mashiach ben David, he's not going to do proper tshuva. And he won't be able to get the iris of Arzu Latzadik. That's what happened by the Dor HaMabul. The Gemara says about the Dor HaMabul that the problem was that the Ribbono Shlom, the issue was that they lived a life that was Me'en Oil Mabul. That's why they went off. What does it mean that they lived a life of Me'en Oil Mabul? So Posh B'Shad, it means too much Gashmis. No. Rav Tzadik says it's not the Pshat. So let's say too much Gashmis. It doesn't say that. It says Me'en Olam Haba. Says Rav Tzadik, the meaning is that that window, that secret of the Rabbanu Shalom, everything is Bratz and Hashem anyway. And like, it's not the Yishri Lev Simcha, it was a little bit too, that door was opened too much by them. Ar kedei kach, that it caused them to have no Yerushalayim, and they went off. Because what are you going to tell them? There's going to be Gehenna. You're going to tell them Oinshin, but what? The whole thing is Ratzon Hashem. They're too close. That's. So you have the. This is what the Sora Mishlech is Mechapra and Amaisa Azvazot. It's Mechapra and the Dor HaMabo. Not Davka Rayas. The point is that the Sora Mishlech is the perfect harmony of being able to be Zoicha to experience Mashiach ben David, channeled through Mashiach ben Yosef in a way that it doesn't bring to the destruction like it did by Dor HaMabul. The Sora Mishlech is Mechapra from Amaisa Azvazot. The Bavliim are too much Mashiach ben Yosef. Azav Azal was too much Mashiach ben David. The Sora Mishlech is the perfect harmony of the two. All of this is, again, like I said, this is the secret, the Meichan of Yom Kippur, which is to be able to seriously do a real avoid of Arzurul Atzadik and be able to experience light from that and to feel Kirvas Elokim because of your serious Achlata to become a Tzadik from now on. But at the same time, to actually somehow allow yourself to feel some of the iris that must have been at play in those mistakes that led you to this place. That's Arzul Tzadik Uli Yishur Lei Simcha. That's strange Gemara, right? That's strange Gemara to Ruhazer. So he asked him a bunch of questions about the Sora Mishlech. I think I answered all the other questions, right? I think so. Okay. So they asked him a few questions about the Sora Mishlech, and he was avoiding the answer because he had this Kabbalah. He doesn't say any Torah that he didn't hear from his Rebbe. Let's understand. This is a little bit, maybe we're a Chassidus Rav Shah in the Gemara. But what else are you going to do with this Gemara? So it's like this. I don't understand. Nach, theoretically, you could add to. I mean, Chazal sealed 24 books. But technically speaking, if a person's a Navi, you could have a. You know, you're not going to contradict old Nevuas, but you could be Moisev, you know. So, Koyim Arshem, a new message. Not a contradictory message, but something new. Torah Shvapeh, you could certainly be Moisev on. You know, there's only one Chalik of Torah that you can, is untouchable. The only one thing is Torah Smash. Chamishu Chumshe Torah is untouchable. No other Navi will ever be able to add another Pasuk in Chamishu Chumshe Torah. You can't take away from Chamishu Chumshe Torah. It's untouchable. Let's understand. When Rabbi Lazar is being asked questions about the Sora Mishlech, and his response is, the Torah that I receive from my Rebbe is untouchable. I can't add to it, I can't take away to it. That means at that moment there was an awakening of the Ha'ara of Nishmas Moshe. It means he's defined. Rav Tzadik writes, he said, when you find statements in Chazal that are recorded by certain Tanaim, Abaya never said like a Shabbos Shuba Drasha. Like, I don't understand. Like, the only things that we have from Abaya recording, like, he never said any other Torah than that. I mean, it's a lot of Torah from Abaya, but still. So, you know what Tzadik says? Of course they said more Torah than what's recorded in Chazal. So why is only these things recorded in Chazal? What Tzadik writes that what's recorded in Chazal are statements by Chazal that was coming from such a deep place within them that akdei kach, they were almost compelled to say it. It came out of them almost like divrei nevuah. You find this. There's some gemaras when Amora says something and then he's mafalba about what he said. That was strange. You said what you said. Say what you mean. He himself doesn't know what he means. It was divrei nevuah come out. So you have recorded in the Gemara questions being asked to Rabbi Lazar about the Sora Mishlech, and Rabbi Lazar's response is that the Torah that I receive, I cannot add or take away from it. I can't. So what are the Chassidim? What are the Talmidim see at that moment? Oh, this is mamish, an awakening of Nishmas Moshe. There's an illumination, dafka by the Sora Mishlech, which means Nishmas Moshe in this particular lens, which is Arz Lo Tzadik Lishlei Simcha. So what do the Chassidim do? Whenever Chassidim see by their Rebbe in Ace Rotzen, so what do? Chassidim, the Gaba, you know, they try to schlep out more. So what do? They try to take that R that Rabbi Lazar is exuding, which is Ha'aris of Nishmas Moshe, Asar Mishtaleich Dikin Nishmas Moshe, of Arzul Tzadik Yishlei Simcha, of red strings being white, and they now try to funnel the conversation to David HaMelech. Yeah? Like I said before, if this Giloy takes place by David, that's it, done deal. Because then that filters down to all neshamas, and every chait is now full of light. And that's the tikkun. So what do they start asking then? They work bottom up. They start asking, what about the children of David? What about Shlomo HaMelech? And again, he doesn't answer the question. He's still holding by that moichin of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the chassidim are like, gevaldik, let's go weiter. And then they start asking questions about what David himself, Batsheva Uriah. And weiter, he's holding on to the moichin of David HaMelech, of Moshe Rabbeinu, gevaldik. And they can feel geula coming. And then they begin to ask even deeper questions. What about a mamzer? Could a mamzer yarshin? Could a mamzer do yibum? Instead of a mamzer. The Gemara says a mamzer is a classic example of a movus layichal iskain, of an achet that cannot be erased. And specifically a chet of Arias, of Taiva. The Gemara says that Yishai, the father of David, was one of the few people that never did an aver in his life. So why did they sin? So why did he die? Why did he die? So the Gemara says he died because of the Nachash. Maisa, there's a gzeirah of death. Asks Rav Tzadik, and like Rav Tzadik always talks about this. He says, what do you mean, gzeirah of death? Well, Maisa, why did he die? It's not his fault. The answer is, says Rav Tzadik, a klal, he didn't sin, but even chassid shel chassidim, even the greatest of Jews, has taiva and feels pleasure when they're involved in things of this world, right? Bias and everything mutter, but there's a certain sense of hana, and that already is the shorish of chet. The shorish of chet, we know, was not just eating the Eitz Hadas Tevera, was Adman Chava being together before Shabbos. The inin of a mamzer means the ceiling, the unbreakable shoyrish hachisaron that's in humanity. So what are they doing? They're taking the oris of Moshe Rabbeinu and now going even weiter. Let's bring it even to the root of all sin, which is afilu chashash v'chasidim. Yishai avi David. And what does Erelazar do? Weiter doesn't respond. He avoids it. Again, funneling koyach of nishmas Moshe. So now the chassidim, the talmidim, are thinking, that's the tikkun, finished. Rebbe, do we have to do zeich l'churban anymore? So what's Rebbe Lazar's response? And this is the great tzaddik. The great tzaddik, Rebbe Lazar, is able to know, he says, do you still have to mark off graves? In other words, no, Mashiach's not here yet. They attribute it to many different tzaddikim. There's a rumor that Mashiach's in the room, right? Mashiach's in the world. So what does the tzaddik do? He has to go to the window, opens the window, gives a smell, right? No, Mashiach's not here. So everyone asks, why did they smell in the room? The answer is, in the room is it's already Mashiach. But the tzaddik, that's the great tzaddik. The great tzaddik knows that there is such a thing, it's a sugi by itself, but there is such a thing as having the oris of Mashiach mitzad yir sharash anasham. But in terms of the klolius of Klal Yisrael, it hasn't happened yet. And this is the difference between Rebbe Lazar and the Talmidim. The Talmidim were still caught up in their own personal Sharish and Hashamas. And so Rebbe Lazar tells them, we repile very, very good things. But Lamaisa, it's not the Tikkun of Klal yet. And that's the story of the Gemara. That's the Maisa over there. Halach Lamaisa, what do we take away with this? I don't know. But one thing to take away. What to take away. So, you'd have to know that, first of all, you have to know that life is mysterious. The Rabbanu Shalom fears the veil in mysterious ways. And you should know that when you get to Yom Kippur, a real Yom Kippur, it's like there's a certain aura that you could actually celebrate. I mean, it's hard to say, but again, say Hashem Magan with a nigan. There's a certain level of aura that a person can feel in knowing that in the height of your Avoid of Yom Kippur, like there is a certain level of realization that all of my mistakes brought me to this place right now. And on Yom Kippur, it doesn't take away from the sincerity of the Avoid, it doesn't take away from the intensity of the Avoid. It's a real Hashem Ugadnu with a real Nigan. And that's the secret of Yom Kippur. That's the Keitz Chi Mechila, that's the height of Kapar. Hashem should bless us, Taka, we should be Zaycha to the. The sight of Nishmas Moshe should be revealed in its fullest of senses to Miyachad the Trei Mashichin, and Taket should be Nizgala that all the mistakes of Kal Yisrael Befrat Bechlal should be revealed that they were Taket Maliar. All the Lashanis Shal Zahirah should be Nishabich Lelovim Bebiyaskal Tzadik Barachim and Meir V'Mein Omen.
Amen.